It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We're celebrating 10 seasons of sharing God's Word with you, and this season is our Selah season. This is episode 150, Yearning for God. But first, because this is our Selah season, we're going to talk about our Selah word for the day, the tip we have to help us all practice pausing and simply being with the God who loves us. So far, we've talked about silence, going slow, solitude, Selah days, sleep, Scripture, song, finding a space to meet with God, and search. Sharon, what's up next?
Well, continuing words that begin with S as a theme, our word today is shepherd. Nicole, as we practice Selah, taking intentional pauses in our day to just be with God, I think it's helpful to do it in the context of being his sheep and remembering we have a shepherd. So, I have a story about a shepherd that I've always used to kind of illustrate the way God protects us. So when we lived in Germany, we lived in these awful-looking apartments. Oh. They were all close together, just high-rise, boring, cementy whatevers. But they circled this really huge, gorgeous field. I mean, huge. And every day, I mean, you would not see this in downtown Rochester, but every day, a shepherd would cross a busy highway, which was outside of our little domain there. There was a light. It was the sheep light.
Oh, no kidding.
So he would push his little button. All the traffic would stop and all the sheep would come across and graze for the day in this massive field.
Oh, that's so
cute. Isn't that the funnest thing? And then, you know, whatever. So I was homeschooling the girls. So we kind of got to know him. He spoke no English. We spoke very little German, but he let the girls hold the lambs.
Oh
my goodness. And it was just idyllic until the day that my dog Tank, named, of course, by Ray, Tank got loose. Now, Tank was this mixed up dog that had Chow and Shepherd and I don't know what else in him. I had no idea he liked to herd sheep. Oh. He took off. The shepherd was like sleeping under a tree and he started herding them toward the highway.
Oh, no.
I know. And I am calling in my most decisive, you know, owner voice, come. And Tank's like, oh no,
but
I've got sheep.
Right? But do you see all the sheep?
It was so, my little heart. So anyways, the shepherd jumped up, said something in German to his German shepherd dog, who then came on the other side of the sheep and stopped them from the highway.
Wow.
At which point I have caught up with Tank, the would-be sheepdog who didn't know what he was doing and was saying what I did know in German, which is, es tut mir leid, which means, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
I don't know what he said back to me in German. So this is where he probably isn't like God the shepherd, but I'm glad I don't know. But anyways, we were friends after that too. But my point is, in this dramatic story, that shepherd was on it, and no sheep was harmed. I mean, he was on it.
Yeah.
He watched them. He protected them. He cared for them. And that's what he does for us, right?
Yeah.
We often get herded in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It very easily sometimes. And we just follow that little crowd to the busy highway that's going to smush us.
Right.
And thankfully, if we belong to him, we're his, and he protects and he reminds and he pulls back and he goes after us. Mm. That shepherd did not sit under the tree and just shrug his shoulders. Oh, well, right? He was up in a nanosecond.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyways, there we go. How about we talk now a little bit about God being our shepherd from a biblical perspective. What you got?
Yeah, there's a lot in the Bible about sheep and shepherds and God being the good shepherd. There were so many verses, it was hard to find just a few. But I'll start with the most popular ones. Psalm 23.
Oh,
that
yes.
That was so beautiful.
Yes.
And then Isaiah 40:11. I love this one because it talks about him gently leading the sheep that have young ones, like mamas. I love that one.
I love that one too. When I was a young mom, I'm like, oh, you're extra gentle with mothers.
Because you know.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a crazy
season. You know,
season.
We haven't slept in years.
Right. Thank you for being gentle. And then in John 10, it talks about him being the good shepherd and how yes. we know his voice. That's a beautiful passage. In Micah, chapter 5, it talks about the shepherd is coming. So that's kind of neat. The good shepherd is coming.
He's looking forward.
People. Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
So that was
cool.
kind of neat.
Yeah.
And then Jeremiah 31 talks about him being the shepherd that gathers his sheep again, that kind of collects them. And I think, you know, the Israelites were scattered at certain times in their past. So that was interesting.
Yes.
And then in even as early as Genesis 48, Jacob talks about God being his shepherd his whole life.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it started in Genesis. I was like, oh, that's kind of a fun little.
Yeah.
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 So personally for me, I love Luke 15 talking about the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep and
the
shepherd.
That. Yeah.
We just had a pastor preach on that this past Sunday. And the way he spoke about it just renewed such a, just a beautiful part of that story. So I was thinking about that, you know, and how God has so many sheep. There's so many of us little sheeps all over the place wandering to and from, but he cares enough about the one that's hurting, the one that's lost. And yes. he will go and jump up in a nanosecond and correct and bring back and love. And man, sometimes we feel like we're not very special, but to know that he cares about a little lost sheep, he cares about little old me in my troubles.
Yeah. Even
so
if we're the silly little sheep that wandered away.
Yes. He'll come find me and leave the other one. So I just love the passages about God being the shepherd. It's a beautiful analogy, you know?
Yeah. And when we're doing our Selah days, to just kind of nestle down into being his sheep.
Yes.
I thought that was a fun one.
It is a good one.
Also began with S, and I was... I've had a lot of S words, so.
That's another good one. I like it.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyways, I love all the names of God and how they help us to practically see him in one of his many facets. He is so big. Mm. So it helps to have some analogies like the word shepherd to help us where we can picture a physical shepherd. Well, today, we're going to talk about yearning for God. I love the word yearn. There's a deep emotional angst about that word of longing, you know, longing to be with him, to know him more and more. It's actually one of the three, I must like words that begin with the same letter. I pray three Y words
You're so
every
cute.
Day too.
I love it.
This is so funny. I just realized we're doing it. So, but anyways, I pray, Lord, help me yield to you, accepting your yoke for the day. And then to yearn for your presence in my life. So to yield, to be yoked, and to yearn. I accepted him at 4 and I am 67. It's been a while, right? But I never want to stop yearning. Mm. I never want to be like done because I'm not. There's so much more to know about him. Well, the psalm we're reading today, Psalm 84, is all about this yearning and longing to be with God ever nearer. Ever dearer, we never get enough, and I just love it. It was written by, quote, the descendants of Korah, who were, Korah himself was a rebel against God in Moses' time. I think he was either swallowed by the earth or, I mean, bad things happened to Korah because he was bad.
Right.
But his family definitely redeemed themselves afterwards and became worshipers of God. And they wrote many of the Psalms, actually, the Sons of Korah. So let's read back and forth, Nicole. Why don't you begin? And we'll stop at each Selah.
Sounds good. So we're reading from the New Living Translation today that uses the word interlude instead of Selah. We, however, will say Selah because that's our favorite word. So reading from Psalm 84. So it says, for the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. We do not happen to have one today, so bear with us. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing, to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home. And the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Selah. Mm. This is so beautiful. The first thing I noticed was he said, O Lord of Heaven's armies, twice. That was interesting. It invokes this feeling of like security, like being protected, like yes. The Lord of Heaven's armies. Mm-hmm. That's who I'm worshiping. Okay. There's some security and some protection in that. That was beautiful. And I love the language of, like you said, that yearning. I long. Yes, I faint with longing.
Yeah.
It's not a like casual want. Like, I think I want that, or, oh, I like that. It's, I desire this above all else. My whole being desires this. And that's so beautiful. Down where it says, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow builds her nest. They're even drawn to God.
Yes.
To like nestle in by his altar. That just mm-hmm. shows like us, we're drawn to him.
We are.
There's this part in our very being that longs for God, that sometimes if we don't know him, we don't know what that is.
That's true. And we try to fill it with all kinds of things
yeah.
that don't fill us up,
right.
but we're really yearning for him.
We are. We yeah. were created to worship and adore him. So
yes.
this passage, I think, is so beautiful. And then the last verse, I love this. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. So when I carpool, when I pick up my nieces from school, there's seven beautiful girls in my minivan. And my oldest niece always says, Auntie, I can tell you're in a good mood because you're singing today. So I must sing when I'm especially happy. But she's like, oh, you must have had a hard day. You're not singing today. But I think that's so cute. But not everyone is prone to bursting into song, as I am on happy days. But in heaven, in the presence of the Lord, the joy that's going to bubble forth from all of us, even us non-singers.
Uh-huh.
How amazing that that's going to be our response, just
yes.
to sing with joy before
yes.
him.
And isn't it nice that in his presence is joy?
Yes.
You know, he's Lord of Heaven's armies, for crying out loud. He's scary.
Right.
And yet, when we as the sheep are in his presence, we sing.
Right. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be self-conscious. We're just so joy-filled and
yes.
ready to worship him.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I
yeah.
love that.
It's a good start. I like
this
song.
Yes. All right. Next, continuing with verse 5. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord, God of Heaven's armies, there we are again, Nicole, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob, Selah. Man, there's that joy again. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord.
Mm.
It's so beautiful. And you know, I was thinking, I experience that a lot when I speak. It seems like when I go to speak somewhere, I often feel flat before I speak. Like, yeah, I don't find myself exciting at all. And I'm kind of boring. And I hope this is interesting kind of thing.
Right, right.
And then I pray and I say, Jesus, I don't feel like I have much today. I really don't. I feel dull. And then, Nicole, there's a surge.
Oh.
And it's so clear it's not me.
Oh.
And there's a strength and a joy. And then all of a sudden, there is pizzazz.
So you've never been dull or boring when I've heard you speak. You always have so much energy. I'm like, that energy is contagious.
it's all
God.
Him.
That's
it really
so
is. Even last weekend, same
oh.
thing. I'm like, and I have nothing. Well, that's normal. Lord, help me. And with that strength to feel the confidence to go and speak to people,
right.
comes a surge of joy because in his presence is fullness of joy. So the other thing I noticed was the joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have, quote, set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's when we set our minds on him. And in this case, they're going up to Jerusalem. This is before the Holy Spirit lived inside them.
Right.
I mean, God is within us now because we are post the crucifixion and resurrection. Back then, when you went to Jerusalem, you were going to the place where God dwelt, right?
Oh, that's true.
The temple is where his presence was.
Right.
So of course there was a yearning to go to Jerusalem. Of course there was a yearning to be in the dwelling, the earthly dwelling place of the Spirit of the living God. Now we know God is omnipresent. He was everywhere.
Yes.
But he wasn't in them like we have him. The Spirit is a gift that Jesus gave us after he made us right with God through his death and resurrection. So, anyways, we need to set our minds on Jesus and on the fact that even then in the valley of weeping, he can be with us.
Oh, wow.
We just, you know, a lot of this is just choosing to look to him, even in the hard things. And that's a setting of the mind because the mind doesn't want to go there.
Oh, no. It's a discipline. You have to grab your thoughts and turn them toward God. It never just wanders to him.
No, especially when you're sad
right.
or you're mad at him because he didn't give you what you thought you ought to have.
Right. You're distracted by troubles. We are so much like sheep where we just wander into the bad places, always the bad place. We never wander to green pastures on our own.
Exactly.
We're just not that bright.
No, we're not. So we set our minds because he's taught us how. The shepherd has taught us.
Oh.
And we turn toward his voice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, I like that one. Okay. On to verse 9. So, O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Sorry, anywhere else. It's the song.
I figured.
I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. So cool. So this was interesting. The first verse, he had asked for favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you anointed. I think he's asking for help like right now on earth, kind of like their earthly king leader. So that was kind of interesting. He's praising God for who he is and talking about heaven and him with him. And then he's asking for more practical support as well, like, and help our king.
And by the way, here on earth, we'd like help too.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. He did that.
Yeah.
And then down here, where he says, the Lord God is our sun and our shield. I was just thinking about like what that meant, like sun, like he's the light to dispel darkness.
He is.
Yeah. And then shield, again, that protection.
The Lord of heaven's armies. Yes.
Yeah, so he knows the God that he's worshiping really well. And he's calling out the pieces of him that he sees, the protection, the light. And then he gives us grace and glory. So that's kind of cool.
Both G words.
Both G
grace
words.
Grace and glory.
So he likes to match up his words too.
Yeah. I like that too. Grace, undeserved favor, just kindness and glory.
They're kind of opposite a little bit of themselves, you know? So that was an interesting pairing. Like usually it's mercy and grace you see together, but grace and glory. So that just kind of stood out to me a little bit.
I love that.
But and then there's that joy again, joy for those who trust in you.
This whole song is joy.
Yes. And there's always a gift. We say this so much, but there's always a gift when we do what God calls us to do and we trust him and we walk with him. We look for him. There's so much joy.
There's
always blessings in that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so nice.
Yeah. So the yearning. It makes sense because we're yearning for the joy giver, right?
Right. And once you taste that joy, nothing else is like it.
And the grace that comes with it, we need grace. We're terrible on our own.
So much grace.
And then glory?
Right.
That's even hard to comprehend because I feel like we don't deserve glory.
Right.
But
what does that look like?
There he is. It's so good. And you know, it's interesting. I was noticing the part where it says, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live a good life in the homes of the wicked.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking if you are living the good life, you know, it's only the good life in terms of you've got all the material stuff because if you're living with wicked people, they're backstabbing, they're jealous, they're trying to get ahead, they're mean.
Yeah. So you're really kind of miserable. Because living in contention with people are always like watching your back or being so insecure for people saying what they're saying around you. That's miserable.
It is.
So fun.
It doesn't matter how many fancy rooms you have in your house.
Right.
It would not be good.
No.
There'd be cattiness. There'd be betrayals. It would be, and you know, we read about that sometimes. The lifestyles of the rich and famous are often
not as glamorous as they appear to be from the outside.
Yeah.
But yet there's so much value placed on that by society and culture. Right. It's hard not to get swept up with that daily.
Yeah. That's another highway we get pushed before.
Oh, sure.
Towards the sheep is if I only had the bigger house or if
then
I only had a little more money.
Yep.
Right?
Then I'll be happy.
Yeah,
but
I forget which wealthy multimillionaire, when he was asked how much money is enough, said a little more.
Yeah, like one more dollar. Is it Warren Buffett? Yeah. I can't remember who it was, but I do remember reading that too. Just
so,
one more dollar.
Basically, they're never satisfied anyways.
Yeah.
Right? So now there are some people that handle wealth well, but they are not the wicked.
Right. They're not being spoken of.
Right. Right. So I just thought that was really interesting, that it really would be better to just be a humble doorkeeper.
A lowly, yeah.
in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Where there's fullness of joy.
And true
than in some fan dancy palace where you're looking over your back every second because someone's going to stab you.
This does not sound fun.
No. And actually, when I used to visit the castles in Germany, I'm like, well, they look really uncomfortable.
They're a little drafty.
Sitting in a gold chair looks very awful. I want my worn leather couch that where my hair, you know, oils over time have wrecked the leather.
Right.
It's not even attractive.
And the Bella-shaped imprint where she likes to watch out the window.
Exactly. I will take that any day over some kind of gold-encrusted, uncomfortable furniture.
Right. And then someone's got to clean all those rooms. I don't want to do it.
I know. So anyways, there we go. All right. So we're going to ask our questions now. So, Nicole, what did you learn about yearning from God from this passage, and how do you apply it?
I kind of sat with this for a little bit. This was a big one. So in this passage, it talks about the yearning for his presence and his protection, for his grace and his love, and honestly, any and everything about God. They kind of mention here, like, they're just yearning to be just near him, with him.
Yes.
And that's so beautiful. And so that kind of got me asking myself, like, do I long for God this much?
Right.
Like, do I? And if not, why? And how do I long for God this much? How do I get there? And so I was thinking that it's time with him, Sharon. It's just spending time with him. It's reading his word. Even if it starts out as, all right, Nicole, set a timer and read for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it may not feel like this beautiful, yearning, joyful thing, but upon getting to know him and love him, that yearning grows.
It does.
Because we yearn for things that we know and we love. So how can I yearn for something, truly keep that going, if I don't take the time to just sit with him and see how amazing he is and how much he loves me? And that, I think that builds that yearning. And it starts to satisfy that the place inside of you that you didn't know was God-shaped hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where it led me to think, like, it's time with him.
It actually brings you right back to Selah time.
It does.
Stopping and being with God. I totally agree with you. He is so multifaceted, this God of ours, with so many different attributes, so many different parts. I mean, he's described in hundreds of different words because he's other.
Yeah.
You know, he's like nothing we see or know. So it takes a lifetime to unpack who he is, and we still won't.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the yearning grows with time spent.
Mm.
I agree with you. And also faith growing, recognizing that the things that we think bring satisfaction actually over time don't. I mean, you know, new cars become old, and, you know, the new little dress gets a stain on it. All the little things that are like, oh, this is fun.
The quick hits, the thrills. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, exactly. But what's lasting and what grows is the time spent with him.
And that was the other piece of it was, if not, why? Why am I not learning for
him?
I love
that question.
And it's like, what am I putting instead of time with God, of him? And it's like, it's those little things, those little habits that you just go to quickly. Like, okay, God, what is it in my life that's keeping me from yearning for you?
Right.
Those like shallow, quick fixes that just get me enough through the day.
A little adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah.
Or no, what is it? Dopamine?
Dopamine hits.
Is it dopamine?
Yeah, and it's very revealing. And it's not like I'm going out drinking at bars every night and doing terrible. But there are things in my life that are idols. I'm turning to them before God.
Right.
It can be food sometimes for me.
Yes.
Sugar.
Yes.
It can be TV. It can be my phone. It can be shopping when I really don't need something. There's so many little things that aren't necessarily a big sin.
Right.
But they're keeping me from God.
Right. Right. And
it's
we have
enough.
To watch it.
We do. I have to watch some of these things. And he's been showing me ways that I've put other things before him. And it's been very convicting.
Oh, it is.
And I had no idea.
I know. And sometimes those small obediences are hard.
They're very hard. You'd rather have this like ginormous turning about and be like, you know, because you tell everyone and they're like, yeah, good job. You're no longer doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But these little things feel like not a big deal. People are like, oh, okay. You're doing less time on social media, like big whoop.
Yeah.
For me, that's been monumental.
It's been a big
big thing.
Absolutely.
It feels like a big sin. It's been gone for me.
And it's a hard obedience.
It is.
To do it.
It doesn't seem like a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
So yeah, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Sharon?
I like it. Well, obviously, I have it as one of my three whys because I don't want to come complacent. We can start to act like a Christian very easily if we've been a Christian for over 60 years, right? We kind of know the language.
Right.
We kind of know the drill. But I never want the heart to go out of it.
Yeah.
I never want to be begging him to not be begging him to help me speak, right?
Right.
I never want to just prance on into a room and say, well, I've been doing this for a while. I would rather feel flat so that I know I need him, right? So, I think yearning is extremely important. And I think even asking for a yearning heart, that's one of my applications. That's what I've been doing. This is my second year because I feel like I'm not great enough at it yet to stop. To just, you know, I want to yield to you in the mornings. Mm-hmm. I want to yoke myself with you, Lord. I want you that close and help me to always yearn to basically help me to realize how special you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Help me never get over your love.
Yeah. Never
want to get over God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to favorite verses. And my favorite verse was verse 5. Mm. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And, you know, obviously that's my favorite because that's what my experience has been, that when I feel weak and inadequate, if I ask for strength, he gives it. And with it, it's not just strength. It comes with this surge of joy.
Yeah.
It just makes me happy, which is so good. And then the advice of setting our minds on pilgrimage. I love Selah days. We talk about them a lot here, the more extended times alone with God.
Yeah.
I have to set my mind to do one because I never have the time.
Right. It's so true.
I just don't. Right. I have to let a lot of other things go and determine that I'm going to not think about all I haven't done and just sit with God and do the most important thing. So verse 5 for me.
How about you? I really liked verse 3. But even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. This psalm has such big imagery about his mighty armies and dwelling place and all these big things. And then it brings it back to like this little bird, these tiny little birds and how they just build their nest and feel safe by God. And it just makes it feel so like earthly and tiny and me, you know, like, oh, I can be that tiny little bird that nestles close to God. So I thought that verse was
so sweet. So beautiful.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, I love that. That is so good. All right. Last question. What did we learn about God from this passage? You can go first.
Oh, I put that he is magnificent and worthy to be yearned for. And that if we put our hope and trust and faith in him, he won't disappoint us.
Right.
He'll never disappoint us. We'll never be like, well, that was a waste of time. Like he always gives us joy.
Yes.
And that's super cool to me.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I wrote, he's the joy giver.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one you want to have around.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy that wrote who was it that wrote this?
A descendant group of guys, of Korah.
The sons of Korah, all of them. They're yearning for God. Why? Well, you don't yearn for someone who's a spoilsport who tells you you're awful all the time.
That's true.
Right? Right? I mean, I'm not like, oh, I would love to go get criticized. Right. I think I want to spend more time with someone that could squash me with his thumb and always has a harsh word.
Right.
Nobody's like signing up for that.
Right.
The mere fact that they're yearning for him means that he's somebody you want to be with.
Oh, that's a great point.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He really is. He is someone we want to be with. Mm. And then lastly, that he rewards those who seek him.
Yeah.
He does want us to seek.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a long seeking. It's not like every single time we open the word, you know, the joy rush comes in because he's not all about emotion.
Right.
He is who he is, whether we feel it or not. But over time, he does absolutely reward those who seek him.
So good.
Oh, that was a fun one.
That was fun.
I love it. All right. Well, let me pray for us. Lord God, shepherd of our souls, we do yearn for you, and we want to yearn more.
Lord, we go astray so quickly. We need your shepherding hand on us so frequently. But how I thank you, Lord, that you give joy, that you're the one we want to be with, the one we feel safe with and loved with, and your corrections are wise and good when they come. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the Psalms that point out to us more and more just how wonderful you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What are some ways that you practice to keep your heart yearning for God? We would love to know. We always enjoy hearing from you. You can find us at sweetsela.org/podcast, or you can email us at sharon@sweetsela.org. Join our podcast family by donating and becoming a podcast partner by going to sweetsela.org/donations. Hearing from our listeners or reading a review makes our day. Please consider helping us out. In any case, we hope you'll be back next time for episode 151, Depression Lessons. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sela Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sela Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsela.org. Thank you for joining us.